Have you heard the news? Have you heard the news? Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Have you heard the news? Jesus is risen.
Amen.
Have you heard the news? Jesus was dead. Behold, he is alive forevermore. And he holds the keys to death and to hell. Have you heard the news? Jesus has ascended to the Father and sits at his right hand, and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto him. And he commands us to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything that he has commanded us as his followers. And behold, he is with us always, to the very end of our lives, to the very end of the world, to the very end of this age. Have you heard the news? Our sins have been forgiven. The Holy Spirit has been given to us, and he is with us forever. Have you heard the news that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death? Thus, there is no longer any condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Have you heard the news? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you need a reminder of that, sometime today, not while I'm preaching, sometime today, turn to Romans 8, verses 37 through 39, and reacquaint yourself that there is nothing, whether it's in heaven or earth, whether it is life or death, whether it's principalities or powers, whether it is things that are now here or things to come, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have heard news, have we not? That is why we gather here this morning. We have an expectation that in any part of our lives, no matter what may come against us, toward us, that Christ will be exalted in our mortal bodies, whether by life or by death. We have heard what is called the gospel, or I think we should better understand it as the good news. In fact, William Tyndale, when he was translating the scriptures, he saw the word gospel, and this is how he translated it. The gospel is the good and glad and merry news that makes a person leap and dance for joy. Now, how about that for a translation? The gospel, the good news. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this up this morning is because I think we as believers, no matter where we may assemble throughout this land or throughout the world, need a reminder that we have come into the embrace of good news in our lives. We have received good news. And I think what's powerful about all of this is to sometimes listen to those who have taken the gospel into missions, missionary fields. And it is interesting to get the answers from different groups of people in the nations of the world and ask them, what is your good news before you share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is your good news? And it's interesting some of the responses you get. Well, what is the good news about God? Well, God is very far away, and he's very difficult to get to. And you've got to work very hard to get his attention. And God is very difficult to lay hold of. And so we follow certain rules, and we follow certain habits. We hope all of this will get us into his good graces. All of that. Now, is that good news? That's, frankly, the worst news I've ever heard. That somehow there's something I can do that's going to make me right with God or make God pleased with me, because I know deep within myself there dwelleth nothing good. as Paul will remind us in his letter to the Romans in chapter 7. There dwelleth in me no good thing. I know that God is good. I know that God is holy. I know His law is perfect and holy. But I have been sold into sin. I know that I need something that is greater, that is bigger, that is more holy than I am. And I've received some good news that the Savior of the world, the lover of my soul and your soul, gave His life on Calvary so that we might come back to God as His children in faith. That's good news. It's nothing I can do. It's what He has accomplished. It is finished, He said, when He gives His last breath on the cross. And so the religious world has no good news. Not really. It's all try harder, do your best, try to be a good person if you can, and maybe the good things you do will override the bad things you have done. Well, again, that's not good news whatsoever. I need to know with certainty my sins are forgiven. And we know that our sins have been forgiven. Why? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. And His sin offering, His own precious blood, has been accepted by the Father in the heavenly Holy of Holies. Well, let's go to the secular world. Does it have any good news for you and for me in our lives? Not really. Good news is, well, maybe more money will make me more happy, make me more joyful. Maybe that's the new good news I need. I just need more money. Well, everybody needs more money. We know that. Gee whiz. Every church needs more money. Every government needs more money. But none of that is really good news. Maybe I need a bigger and better house. Maybe I need a bigger and better car. Maybe I just need better vacations, something. I need power over people. Maybe that's what I need. I need to lord it over somebody. That'll make me feel better, make me feel like I have meaning. And of course, we live in a day and age in which drugs will certainly make me happy. That must be the good news I'm looking for. But of course, we know that that is not good news whatsoever. That is dissipation. That is causing yourself to go deeper into the darkness. The gods of ambition, the gods of politics, the gods of education, how are they working for the world at this time? And when I talk about good news, think about the news that, frankly, I haven't listened to for about the last 7-8 years. I don't watch news anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm serious. I haven't watched news on TV. I don't watch a lot of TV at all anymore, to be honest with you. But news, what kind of news do they have? Is it good news? Is it news that builds us up? Is it news that... No, you know what it's like. If it bleeds, it leads. Is that correct? That's exactly what the news is. What is going wrong? We're going to tell you. We're going to tell you how bad a people you are. And that's why we have so many problems in the world. This is what the news does. So NBC, CBS, ABC, or any of your cable news network, social media, and print, none of this is good news. But we have good news. We have good news. What is our good news? We know it very well in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. For by grace, you and I have been saved through faith. And that's not of ourselves. See, I'm back to what I said originally. Am I the answer to all the good news? No. This is not of ourselves. We have been saved, and it's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's the grace or gracious gift of God that has caused us to be redeemed, to be renewed, to be regenerated, to be reborn with the new birth that Christ gives to us. Not a result of works, so that no one of us can boast. Not one of us can go before God and say, I earned this, I deserve this. No, it is freely given by the love and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For we are His workmanship, the Apostle Paul will go on, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What is the purpose of our salvation? What is the purpose of being a follower and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we are His. We are His workmanship. It's interesting because we have learned over the years that Jesus was a little bit more than just a carpenter. He, no doubt, was a person who knew how to work with masonry, putting buildings together as well as furniture or instruments of work. But He was someone who knew what it was to build. We are His workmanship. He has started a work in all of our lives. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that it's a good work. And there's that word good again. Good news. He who began a good work in you will bring it to a completion until the day of Christ Jesus Himself. Have you ever seen that in your life? Have you received that into your heart and life? God, the God of the universe, the God of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things, has done a new creation work in you, for you are a new creation in Christ. And He who began that good work will bring it to a completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What I'm trying to impress upon you and me this morning is you have received good news. And the good news continues, as our brother gave a testimony today, talking about how he realizes that he's going to give praise to God even through his old age. Amen to that. Absolutely. God is not finished until He's finished, until He calls you to be coming home to Him. And so we leave it to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the dead and the living. Let's leave it to Him when He calls us home to be with Him. But until then, let's embrace the good work He started in each of our lives that He will bring to a completion until the day of His coming or calling us home. So we are His workmanship. Jesus is still building. He's still building. Well, wait a minute. What did He say in Matthew's gospel? I will build what? My church. I will build my called out ones, my followers. And it is described in the New Testament letters as a building, living stones that are being put together on top of one another, rising up into a holy temple of the Lord, in which we offer our praise and thanks to Almighty God for this good news of salvation and forgiveness of sins, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, I was tempted to give a message today because of so much that's going on in the world. And it hits me. I've been a believer since 1975. And before that, I've seen a lot of things in our world. I was 11 years old when we had a president assassinated in our country. I was there, and some of you may have really been there, during the Vietnam War era. And we saw our nation almost dissolve because there was so much opposition, so much discord. We continue to see it, 9/11. It just continues. The disaster, the debacle that took place just a couple of years ago in Afghanistan. And I'm thinking, okay, we all know what just took place just a week ago in Israel. And it's again, the news, it's horrible, it's bad. And it hit me, God said, preach the good news. Remind my people, they have received good news. And that news needs to inspire them to rise up and offer whatever gift I place within them, which is the gift of intercessory prayer. It's the gift of being kind and being loving and exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, the very life of my Son in the earth. And the earth will see the glory of the Lord inside the people who are called by my name. Good news. We forget it too easily. We neglect this great salvation that God has given unto us through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's why I wanted to preach this morning. I want to remind you and I, we are recipients of good news. And there are lots of people out there who need to hear good news. And I know you as a congregation want to preach and share that good news with your lives, with good deeds, the workmanship that is being done in your life. So let's keep reading or remind you what he said. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Very specifically, we are in the Son of God. We are in him now and forever. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You realize God has prepared something for you to walk in, to do the work of the Savior. And you may say, well, Pastor, what is that all about? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Just the way I say it, don't you feel a little calmer? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And boy, here's one we need in America and all over the world. Self-control. I'm glad you're grinning a little. Isn't that the truth? A little self-control, which only comes by the inspiration and the participation of my Spirit with the Holy Spirit, which Jesus will freely give to all of us who will receive Him into their lives as Lord and as Savior. These are the good works I'm talking about. These are the good deeds that are done in His power, in His love, in His wonderful presence. He loves us. Remember what Paul said? It's amazing how Paul put that. Paul says in Galatians, He loved me and gave Himself up for me. And that's how you have to see it. You know, don't just read it and say, oh yeah, He loved me and gave Himself up for me. Yeah, okay, what's next? No, no. He loved you and gave Himself up for you that you might walk in the workmanship that He is doing in your life for the good deeds that He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This morning I want to encourage you that you and I really are partakers of a good work in our lives, begun by the Lord of life and death, the Lord of all, Jesus. We are His new creation. And I've already quoted Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work. But you know, Paul went on to write in Philippians, in chapter 2, that says, now, brethren, as you have obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. We have received salvation. Salvation means to be set free, to be delivered. To be delivered from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. From darkness into light. That we might declare the excellencies of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, says Peter in his letter. So work out this salvation, for it is God who is in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And so from Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, we hear these words from the Apostle Paul. Work out this salvation. Whoever said it up here, one of the young women, talked about trusting God. We sang it, I believe, did we not? I've been a believer, as I told you, since 75. When I finally retired from the congregation in Whitehall, Illinois, I told them a few weeks before that I was teaching a series, and I said, a lot of people, they think, you know, you quote Scripture a lot, and they think I know a lot of Scripture. Well, I know some Scripture, you know. We all know Scripture, come on. But I'm going to tell you what I really know. And I know what to be. And that's not to be some expert about the Bible. Aren't you tired of hearing about experts? Am I the only one? The experts haven't been right for quite a while, if you haven't noticed that. But I'll tell you what I have become an expert in. I have become an expert in trusting Jesus Christ. The older I get, the more I just trust him. I had an old saint in my last congregation. She said something I've never forgotten. She said, Rex, the older I get, the less I know, and the more I know it. And I thought, boy, isn't that the truth? The older I get, the less I know, and the more I know it. Which leads me back to, you know what? I've become an expert in trusting God. The world's in chaos. That's just the fact. It's always been in chaos. I was in chaos before Christ came and made his light shine into me. My life was chaotic. It was madness. It was going nowhere. And then he made himself real to me. And now there's nothing to do but to trust him to the very end. With my life, with everything I possess, just trust him. And believe that he will finish this work in my life. And I trust you will believe with me that he'll finish that work in your life. And it's a good work. Because your new life in Christ began with good news. And it's going to finish with good news. When he says finally, come up here. And I always tell people, your last breath here will then be your first breath. New air. New breath. The breath of life. Calling you to himself to be with him forever, just as he promised. That where I am, there you may be also. Remember what he promised the disciples in the Gospel of John. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Because I live, you will live also. Are you holding on to that promise? Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hold on to all these promises we shared. Especially the fact that he began a good work is going to bring that to a completion. Good news. Have you heard the news? If you haven't figured it out, that's the title of my message. Have you heard the news? We have. Amen. We've heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's the news in which we trust in. In fact, I'm going to finish with one scripture. I know you probably want to get this. If you want to, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. When we're first introduced to Jesus, what is it? When's the first introduction we really get in the Gospels? For me, it's Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And the Gospel of Matthew, what I'm referring to is the angel coming to Joseph and reminding him, hey, your wife is not lying to you. Hear that, men? Believe your wives. That which is within her is of the Holy Spirit. It's from God. And you are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Our first introduction to the name of Jesus. He will save you, he will save me from our sins. That's what he's come for. That's what we've been proclaiming from the beginning of this message this morning. But now in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, read with me, here we go. Now I make known to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel which I preached to you, the good news, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, did you catch that? This is of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4, he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, according to the Old Testament. You will find all of this in the Old Covenant. Verse 5, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most who remain until now, but some have fallen asleep, have passed away. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared to me also, the apostle Paul. Of first importance, Christ died for us according to the Scriptures. Call him Jesus. He will save you from your sins. Now, I had a lot more to do, and I better not do that because we may be here a little longer than you want to be. But listen, you've had good news preached to you as we've had good news preached to me. We've embraced that good news. Never release your grip on it. Hold on to it. Because I have to tell you, there's probably more bad news you're going to hear out there. But you have good news to counter that and to share with others. May the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Our final hymn will be Holy Ground, and I just want to remind everyone, the altar is open. If you need prayer for healing, prayer for salvation, today's the day. Just come to the altar and someone will pray with you. Cheers. Jesus on holy ground. Lord, we're so thankful for your presence in our lives, Lord. And we feel you here with us this morning, and we give you all the praise, Lord. I just ask that you be with us throughout the coming weeks, Lord. Keep us safe and walking with you, Lord, most importantly. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.